Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here along with Shad Marquis. We are your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Please everyone, be sure to go back through the week as, boy oh boy, it was a busy one with a lot of company updates again, both production and exploration companies, as well as a lot of market commentary as we continue to see volatility really across the board. We are kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, you focus on a wide range of sectors, and that's why we love having you on, because you really have a balanced approach when looking at different markets and balancing out the economic data. I want to start with U.S. equity markets because they've been more volatile this year. And right now, as we're recording this, which is later in the day on Wednesday, the S&P is a little over 5% off of its recent highs. And those recent highs came earlier this year. We have seen a bit larger down days when it comes to volume and even the moves down. And I think the more interesting thing is after the most recent little pullback over the last week and a half, we haven't seen the markets just push back to all-time highs. It's been much more of a choppy motion, and a lot of it does deal with this rotation out of tech or out of, let's say, growth into value. Jesse, take us through your outlook of the general health of these U.S. markets, please.
Well, I think the key thing to understand here is that the Fed, through, you know, printing $5 trillion over the last 22 months, really stoked animal spirits in a way that we haven't seen in at least 20 years since, you know, the late 90s dot-com mania. But even I think that this bubble in stock prices is bigger than what we saw back then. At least the speculative fervor today is more extreme, more dramatic than what we saw back then. That's not just my opinion. Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett's partner, came out and said as much recently. But I think if you lived through that period of the dot-com mania and witnessed some of the extreme moves we saw in a handful of stocks back then, and you lived through this recent episode as well, it's pretty obvious that what we've seen recently, it was much more extreme in terms of the amount of leverage used, right? The investors using call options and margin debt and things, leveraged ETFs in a way that they weren't able to use back then. And then the breadth of the speculation, it's just gone into a number of different asset classes and things. You know, I think a friend of mine suggested that the Fed did so much to stoke animal spirits that animal spirits got rabies. I thought that was just the perfect way to put it. Literally, investors went crazy during this cycle. And so with the hint of even reduction of all this stimulus, you start to see these animal spirits begin to wane. And this is a concept, this animal spirits concept, that's been around really since the invention of central banking and central bankers understand their ability to stoke investor risk appetite or to diminish it through what, you know, through money printing. And so I think that, you know, that's the big thing that people really need to pay attention to is the Fed has only just begun to reduce the amount of stimulus. It's still printing money every single month, $60 billion this month, $30 billion next month, and hopefully, you know, they say they're going to get to zero in March. But they're still printing a ton of money, and already we're seeing things like the ARK Innovation ETF down 50%. And a lot of these, you know, stocks, popular stocks, meme stocks and things, down, you know, 70-80%. And that's, to me, just a representation of this reversal in animal spirits.
Yeah, Jesse, that's absolutely what we're seeing. It's almost like end of cycle kind of data that's coming out. One of the tweets you had sent out a week or two back talked about the largest five companies in the U.S. trade for 46 times free cash flow, or 57 times if you remove the cash flow. So that's very frothy levels. But you had another tweet right after that talking about NFTs, the cryptos, the meme stocks, and rarely has money felt more fake. That was an article that was on Vox. And it just seems like these are end of cycle kind of things that happen because of the Fed juicing the market so much. Do you think that we're going to see the tree get shaken here and some of these traders that have come in since the pandemic started, and maybe it's the first time being in the markets, maybe they get a little reality check here on where some of these valuations have been?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about where do these animal spirits come from, right? It's the Fed buys up $5 trillion worth of risk-free assets, reducing their supply. So investors who are holding those are left with cash. They're forced to go into something out on the risk curve. And the Fed has said explicitly, this is the point of quantitative easing, is to push people out the risk curve, force them to buy riskier and riskier securities. And so you see that happening. But as you mentioned, we see it in cryptocurrencies. You see it in call options. One of the statistics that just blows my mind is I think there was over $800 billion spent last year just in Tesla call option premiums. That's mind-boggling, right? I mean, almost $1 trillion just in Tesla call option premiums. So the Fed was extremely successful in pushing people out the risk curve. To come back to the psychology, you think of, you know, these acronyms, and, you know, TINA is maybe the most popular. There is no alternative to owning stocks. And that's what the Fed does. When they buy up risk-free assets, push interest rates to zero, they force you into risk assets. There is no alternative to owning risk assets. But now that inflation is here, the Fed is forced to deal with it. Interest rates are going up across the curve. We're seeing this from the short end to the long end. Interest rates going up. Well, now there is all of a sudden an alternative to owning stocks. And that alternative is getting more attractive by the day. And so what does that mean? That means to me that valuations have to come down in a meaningful way. And you pointed out the extreme valuations in the biggest stocks in the market. You know, it was a report from my friend Eric Cinnamond, who does some fantastic fundamental research on markets and especially small cap securities. But if you just look at the five biggest stocks in the market, the way I calculate it, and I use aggregate price to free cash flow. So you take the total market cap of all five of these companies, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Tesla, Google. Put that all together, you get whatever it is. It's probably $7-8 trillion, something like that. And then you take their total free cash flow, put all their free cash flow together. Back in 2012, 13, 14, these stocks traded at 10 times free cash flow on an aggregate basis. Today they trade almost 40 times free cash flow. So that is that animal spirits TINA effect. We've seen valuations quadruple. So how much of that, how much do valuations have to come back to reflect now that there is an alternative to owning stocks? And I don't know the answer to that, but I know that these stocks shouldn't trade 40 times. Maybe it's 25 times. But even if they were to drop that much, I mean, that's a 30-40% decline in the stock prices. So that's potentially, the risk that lies ahead so long as rates keep going up.
Well, in all fairness too, Jesse, we have seen a lot of stocks already correct. It's just that the broad averages really haven't reflected that because of the concentration of capital that we have seen in really just a select few stocks. So that's something we can touch on next segment. But again, to your point, it seems like right now everyone's focused on the Fed and rising interest rates. Rightfully so. We haven't been in this environment for a while, and it seems like every time we get into this environment where the Fed starts hiking, we all start worrying about corrections or even market crashes. We're hearing a lot about that now, but hey, we'll see how far the Fed can get with their rate hikes. Everyone stick around. We are going to be right back with Jesse Felder.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereports.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Now, Jesse, sticking to that whole theme that we ended last segment with in terms of all eyes on the Fed and the Fed going down this tightening process, I don't want to sound too simplistic, but doesn't it make sense that if the Fed is starting to taper and might even be raising rates, that the bond market
should actually pull back because the Fed is such a large buyer of bonds. That could also make people look a little bit more favorably towards the U.S. dollar. And quite frankly, if you are injecting less liquidity into the markets and eventually even stopping that liquidity, then markets should generally correct. But that all depends on how slow the Fed goes so that there isn't a shock to the system. Isn't that what the Fed is trying to balance?
Well, I think that, you know, the Fed is trying to balance a variety of things. They want to try and rein in inflation, but they don't want to crash the asset markets or the economy and at the same time. And that is a balancing act that we're going to witness play out this year. But I think the most important thing to pay attention to right now is that from 2009 or 2008-9, when the Fed really started QE, till 2019, just before the repo fiasco, that there was a very clear pattern where when the Fed initiated QE, interest rates went up. And when they began to taper QE or QE came to an end, interest rates went down. And to me, that was a very clear sign that the markets were saying, okay, when the Fed initiates support through QE, that's good for the economy, so interest rates should go up. When the Fed ends QE, ends that monetary support for the economy, that's bearish for the economy, so interest rates should come down. In 2019, we saw something different happen where the Fed was reducing the size of the balance sheet, and all of a sudden we had the repo fiasco where the Fed had to come back into the markets, into the treasury markets and reinitiate QE. This is before the pandemic hit. I'm talking about the fall of 2019. And to me, that was a sign that the treasury market, the federal debt levels were getting to a point where they couldn't function effectively without the Fed's intervention involvement. Now, the total debt, the federal government has grown dramatically since then, in the 2+ years since that time. And what we're seeing today is, an affirmation of that view, which is the Fed has just started to taper and interest rates are starting to take off across the curve. To me, that is a sign that, you know, what you would expect is what we saw from 2009 to 2019, I think, is that the Fed is reducing monetary stimulus for the economy. That should be bearish for the economy. And as such, the market, the bond market should rally, interest rates come down as a sign of a potentially slowing economy. But we're seeing the opposite. We're seeing the Fed just start to taper asset purchases and interest rates are going up. And that's, to me, a sign that this treasury market, there is not enough natural demand for treasuries that the Fed can step away and allow the market to just function, you know, be left to its own devices. And this, to me, is a very significant thing to pay attention to, because if the Fed continues to taper over the next couple of months and interest rates continue to go up, they could, create this very quickly, this type of a recessionary reaction in the economy and the markets. I mean, imagine if the 10-year, were to go to 3%, which is not, unreasonable in light of a 7% CPI print. If the 10-year goes to 3, the housing market is in trouble. And so I really don't think the Fed can afford to allow, can afford to leave the market to its own devices if interest rates are going to just continue to power higher without their significant involvement.
On to gold. I know that as we're recording this on Wednesday, very encouraging day for the gold and gold stocks. However, it depends what time frame you're looking at a chart, because you go back to mid-2020, the peak in gold. It's been a pretty devastating, although not huge percentage-wise, but grinding downtrend, lower highs and mixed lows in all fairness. Recently, we've had some higher lows, but we went almost a year there with lower lows being had. What are the key levels that you're looking for in the gold price that would give, I guess, the generalist investor a little bit more confidence saying that, look, gold finally is breaking out. It's not going to be another head fake.
Well, I mean, to me, I'm already, so I like to look at a variety of things to analyze any market, primarily fundamentals, sentiment, and technicals. So fundamentals for me, for the gold price, are real rates are still deeply negative. That suggests to me that there is a very strong underpinning for gold prices today. It's why we, like you said, it's been actually a very shallow correction. We've seen, what is it, 15%, something like that in gold prices. It's been longer than a lot of people had probably hoped, but it's been pretty shallow. And I think that's because of this strong fundamental underpinning. If gold prices were to follow this relationship with real rates, the gold price should be way over 2,000 an ounce today. So to me, I see a margin of safety fundamentally in the gold price that makes me very comfortable buying significant position. I have been doing, like we've been talking about over the last few months. But from a sentiment standpoint too, it gives me a great deal of confidence. When you look at my friend Tom McClellan makes a great point. When you look at the gold price and ETF flows, it can be a great contrarian signal. When you saw the gold price peak in August of 2020, ETF flows continued positively even after gold prices rolled over and fell a couple hundred bucks. We saw flows continue to go into gold ETFs, which was a contrarian bearish signal that investors shouldn't have been buying as prices were going down. But we're seeing the opposite over the last, two, 3 months, whereas prices have actually been moving higher really since those August through October lows. And money continues to flow out of ETFs. That makes me very, very happy. It makes me feel very comfortable that investors are really still shunning the precious metals. And that's a very contrarian bullish sign for me. And then technically, we talked about some levels. To me, I see this as a bullish, symmetrical triangle, essentially kind of like a pennant pattern. Typically is just signals a corrective phase in an ongoing bull market. That's exactly what I see from, August of 2020 till now, is just a corrective pattern in an ongoing bull market. And, we're seeing a breakout above this 1830-ish level, 32. If we see a breakout above that November high, people are not going to stay bearish for very long. We're going to see ETF flows pick up again, and it's going to be that retail investor getting excited in gold again that's really going to see this next leg, higher in gold prices. And it could be an explosive one. Like I said, gold price should be way over 2,000 an ounce today.
We're going to leave it there, but Jesse, you're not alone in wondering why gold and the gold miners especially haven't moved with negative real rates, higher inflation. Jesse, great chatting with you as always, buddy. I love reading over your stuff over at the Felder Report, and we really appreciate you taking time on our show. So thanks for your time this weekend, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Winter weather is still affecting the east as for the second weekend in a row, a huge winter storm has rolled its way through the Carolinas. John Millwood is a Clinton, South Carolina resident who says he's never seen the region get that kind of winter weather before.
Very unusual. very unusual. Like I said, I'm 54, and I've never seen weather like this in quite a long time.
Federal authorities officially declaring last week's hostage standoff at a Texas synagogue an act of terrorism. The assistant to the president for Homeland Security, Jill Sanborn, says the FBI is treating that standoff as an act of terrorism that targeted the Jewish community. Sanborn made the comment yesterday on a conference call with reporters. Malik Akram last week took four people hostage at Congregation Beth Israel near Fort Worth before he was fatally shot by law enforcement. This is USA Radio News. The U.S. Supreme Court says it will revisit a 2020 decision concerning a native land dispute in Oklahoma. Reports are justices will consider limiting the court's decision in McGirt v. Oklahoma, which ruled that a large part of that state's eastern region was an Indian reservation. While they said that they won't overturn the ruling, the justices said they will look at the state's ability to prosecute crimes that happen on native land, and the case will be argued in April. A story labeled Truck Full of Monkeys. Pennsylvania authorities are searching for loose primates after a dump truck collided with a truck full of monkeys. No human injuries reported after the truck that was carrying about 100 monkeys crashed on Route 54 in Montour County on Friday night. Troopers say at least three of the animals got loose after the crash, and they're still at large. Reports are that truck was on its way to an area laboratory before the collision. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. We are, again, talking broad markets, but also going to get into the precious metals as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Also writes the Lion Share website, which I will include a link to within the weekend show posting. Dana, starting off with the U.S. equity markets. We were talking a lot tail end of last year about how weak breadth was and the little bit of choppiness that we saw at the tail end of the year, as well as that rotation more into value out of growth. If we look at the S&P so far this month, it's down 5%. The NASDAQ is down almost 8% this month and down 3% this week, as we are recording later in the day on Thursday. What's your thoughts on these U.S. markets? Is this a dip to be bought right now?
Maybe for a trade, like we spoke about before I came on. The breadth deterioration, you know, since November is serious enough to suggest more of on the lines of an intermediate term correction. So probably on the order of a couple more months, even. Depends how fast we get to conditions that have sufficiently corrected that divergence and corrected the investment, the investor bullishness and the extremes there in sentiment. So, what we saw obviously was the broad market and the smaller caps break down or at least top out back in November, and now are breaking down some below some key technical levels. At the same time, the large caps and the large cap averages hold up much better, obviously, into the beginning of this year. But invariably, when you look at the types of divergences we saw with breadth, with the number of stocks hitting new lows, even as the indices were hitting new highs towards the end of the year, those types of divergences almost always turn into something more serious on the downside. So what we've seen over the last 2 weeks is basically the large caps and some of the other sectors that had held up kind of catching down to the broader market. If that's the case, if they're going to follow the broader market lower, they've got still got quite a bit of catching up to do on the downside. So this could get a little bit more serious and take a little bit more time to run its course before, you know, a more sustainable dip is to be bought.
Yeah, it's interesting. It seems almost like passive investors that just bought the indexes did a lot better last year and even heading into this year than investors that may have diversified into multiple stocks, because many of those stocks in those sectors, whether it's the S&P or the NASDAQ or the Russell 2000, got hammered. They're down 30, 40, 50%, where when you look at the indexes, it gives you a lot better feeling that, hey, things have been pretty good for the last year. Are there any sectors or individual companies that you're shorting right now? Because I know you play both sides of the market, Dana. Are there sectors that you feel are still going to stay under pressure for a while?
I mean, the growth areas are obviously your relative laggards right now, and we always want to be buying relative strength into dips and shorting or selling relative laggards into bounces. So anything growth related, we want to be selling or shorting on the bounces. Again, nothing's going to be straight down, so you want to pick your spots with that. But anything that's broken some key technical lows, you look at technology or consumer discretionary, obviously the small caps, anything growth that we've talked about, those types of areas, I would not hesitate to be shorting, you know, again, at the right levels. Some areas, some international areas as well, look like they are pretty vulnerable right now. And again, if the sectors and all of the cap weighted areas are to catch up to the downside to match what, you know, the broader market and the small caps have done on the downside, then there'd probably be nowhere to hide once this thing is has run its course. But obviously you want to continue to ride the trend, so that means you're shorting those areas in growth that have broken some key technical levels that are more vulnerable to further downside.
So, Dana, let's switch focus here and talk about precious metals, because that was a topic that we covered a lot this week because of the moves that we saw on Wednesday, specifically in gold and the gold stocks that both moved higher. GDX was up something like 7% on Wednesday. Silver started moving on Tuesday, and Wednesday also got a buy, as well as the stocks. And commodities broadly have done well this week. Take into consideration that GDX just this month is still only up 2%, but this is a much better week. What's your take on that bounce we saw on Wednesday? Is it the start of another uptrend in your eyes?
Well, it could be. I think it was a key day. I don't say that too often either. From a longer-term perspective, we do think there's another up leg of the precious metals bull market. We saw that big rally that ran up into the former highs that ended in the mid, say, summer of 2020 in gold. And then around that key Fibonacci retracement, and a lot of the gold miners and gold miner funds. So we think this is, since 2020, this is more or less of a consolidation of that rally and gearing up for another big up move. The question is always from what level and when does that begin? So we were actually had a short position on the gold miners over the last several weeks. It looked like to us that it might be setting up for one more move lower after testing the same levels, the same support levels multiple times. That didn't happen as of yesterday. We saw a nice breakout above some key levels. Got it. Most of these miners, ETFs, as well as the metals, we got it out of harm's way. Considering the consolidation has been, it's still got plenty of resistance. And when I say it, I'm talking about the precious metals complex in general. It's got plenty of resistance to get through still. So, again, that's not going to be a straight shot up. But it did recover some key technical levels, started making at least a near-term higher high, which is important, got it out of harm's way, like I said, and might be the start of, you know, at least starting to make its way back up higher. So we are out of our shorts, flip long again. Gold and silver, we have maintained a small long position. As we improve that, the technical position in those areas will continue to accumulate positions there. But as of yesterday, out of harm's way, prospects are a little bit better in that area.
Well, Dana, I know that you look at things from the lens of quantitative analysis and metrics and looking at technical analysis. Do you do any intermarket analysis, though, where you look at one asset class compared to other asset classes in your due diligence? When you're looking at the precious metals, do you look at them versus the dollar or the general markets? We've just seen a lot more news about this may be the chance for the precious metals complex to outperform the general equities.
Yeah, to be honest, we don't. That doesn't enter into our quantitative models at all. I will say when, you know, you look at some ratios, intermarket ratios on a longer term basis, that provides kind of a background lens to stepping off area to look at considering, you know, whether it's precious metals or commodities versus equities, which are extremely, the ratio is extremely cheap right now. But that can remain that way in a long time. And the other pitfall in looking at the, intermarket analysis is that correlations can change, the relationships can change. In our view, it's hard enough to try to figure out where one asset is going, where the price of one asset is going, much less figure out what that price is, the price of that asset is going based on the price of a different asset. So from our mind, our point of view, we try to simplify things and judge everything, each and every ticker on its own merits. So, but it is from, like I said, from a background standpoint, it's interesting to see where you are on a historical basis, what types of assets are extremely cheap historically now, and have that potential perhaps to move much higher, and which ones are very expensive, and while they might still be in an uptrend, might not have that potential fuel left for a huge move.
Well, we've talked a lot about how undervalued commodities are, or hard assets compared to financial assets, so who knows, maybe this is the start of a change. Dana, thank you, as always, for your time. Always interesting to hear what markets you're trading and your outlook, so we'll be chatting in another couple of weeks. In the meantime, hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure being on.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
92.
$1,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to really focus almost exclusively on the precious metals sectors. We are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now, Dave, we usually chat on Tuesdays, but I'm glad we left this one to the end of the week because, well, there was quite the swings happening in precious metals. We got to Tuesday and silver started to move, and then Wednesday, boy oh boy, gold moved higher, the gold stocks moved higher, silver moved higher, silver stocks moved higher. Everybody, all precious metals investors, especially that we talked to, they were excited. They were calling breakouts. They were calling a lot of things that unfortunately weren't exactly true on the charts. It was nice to see the volume bump. That was something that it really sticks with me, that we did see an increase in volume. But as we're now recording this late in the day on Friday, gold looks like it's going to close the week up about $10. The gold stocks or GDX, that's still going to be up maybe a couple percent this week, but nowhere near these breakout euphoric calls that we were getting just on Wednesday. Dave, what's your takeaway from this week when it comes strictly to the moves in the precious metals?
Yeah, Corey, we were whipsawed yet again. Well, not we, but traders were whipsawed yet again this week in the gold price. I was watching it take place on, like you mentioned in the lead up here, that silver had that big move on Tuesday. And I was very encouraged by that because the gold price was down that day. The stock market was down that day and the dollar was up huge. And yet silver made this huge 50-cent move up. And I said, well, that's got to be a tell for something. And sure enough, the next day, the gold price zoomed through 1835 resistance, which had been pretty stiff resistance for the past few months. But it did so on the press conference, the very confusing press conference that President Joe Biden held at the White House, where he basically said, it looks like Russia is going to invade. They can invade a little bit, but if they go in whole hog, then they're going to suffer consequences. Like, huh? And as soon as that took place, that's when the gold price got above 1835 and started to move towards stiffer resistance at 1850. And the silver price continues to lead. That's also very bullish. In the longer term here is silver is leading this move, and it's still holding most of its gains, although the gold price
moved off and could not even close above that stiff resistance at 1835 on a weekly basis. And as soon as whoever bought the shares after that move on Wednesday, they're taking their profits. The miners moved right back down again when they saw that was taking place. So basically, a lesson here for anybody in this sector is that you never have much faith in a saber-rattling geopolitical move in the gold price, because it's usually sold off, and that's exactly what's happened here, especially when we're going into a very important Federal Reserve meeting next Wednesday. I know we say that every month, every Fed meeting, how important they are. But this one is super important because the market is waiting to see how the Fed is going to telegraph these rate hikes and this bond buying program that is expected to wrap up now in March. And a rate hike is over 90% priced in now. So the market is nervous about how they're going to roll this out, and they're selling their stocks. Because now you have the NASDAQ officially in correction territory, down over 10%. And before, you were seeing some rotation. You know, you were seeing the gold stocks being bought while the market was going down. But not today. The miners are going down with the stock market as they're breaking some support levels. The NASDAQ has broke its October low, so it's made a lower low. And the S&P is trying to hold its 200-day moving average. The Dow's already lost its 200-day moving average. So investors are getting nervous here into Fed speak. So it's going to be interesting how this is all going to shape out next Wednesday.
David, it is going to be interesting to see what the Fed says next week. I just want to back up, though, to the middle of this week when everybody was so jubilant, and also point out that people don't need to be too depressed today just because there's a sell-off, because I think what's happening is wild swings in both directions and emotions and sentiment, and everybody's looking to find out who done it. Because when we talked to people throughout the week, some people mentioned that all the commodities were racing higher in the face of a stronger dollar, which was unusual, and I wouldn't expect to see that on a Ukraine an invasion narrative, you know, even if it's only a partial invasion. But I'm going to back up to just all the discussions we were having in December, and I guess even though it's not a popular idea, we've talked forever about there being a really bad tax loss, the worst tax loss many people had seen in a long time, and then a month later, a lot of those people are now past their 30-day wash period and buying in. Couldn't some of the support in the market, since it happened in silver first and then gold and in the mining stocks and in a lot of other commodities, by the way, couldn't all of that be tied into some of this tax loss buying and the seasonally strong month of January that we normally see? And because it's the strongest one of the whole year, January, couldn't some of that just be tax loss selling, technical maneuvering? Does it have to have a narrative attached to it?
Yeah, I think so. Yes. I mean, especially when you see that volume spike. I mean, that volume spike on Wednesday was just as high as it was when, during the last Fed speak, FOMC meeting Fed speak, when we had a strong reversal off of September bottoms in the GDX, the GDXJ, the SIL, the SILJ, and silver. Silver double bottomed at exactly 21.41. And the GDX and GDXJ and those other ETFs, they appeared to have double bottomed at their September lows as well. And that was huge volume that day. And we also saw a huge volume on Wednesday, and the subsequent sell off from the huge spike on Wednesday is half the volume of that day. So I do think that there is something in what you just laid out. I think there are sector professionals that are getting back into these quality juniors, but we still need to get the generalist investor in the sector on a bigger scale. You know, we've talked about in the past few discussions about how they're coming into Newmont, how they're coming into Barrick, and Newmont is bifurcated and is leading the sector higher. And let's face it, I mean, the gold market has been in an uptrend since the last Fed speak. It's making higher highs, it's making higher lows, and so are the gold stocks. So it might not feel like it, but they are making headway. And we know that in the past, the sector has made major bottoms around the beginnings of Fed rate hike cycles. I mean, it happened just the second phase of the secular bull market began with a rate hike cycle in late 2015. the actual bull market, the actual second, the first phase of the bull market, which started way back in 1999, that kicked off with a rate hike cycle as well. And also, we know that in the past, that during other inflationary periods, the gold sector has lagged the commodity sector during the first half, and then it outperforms in the second half. I mean, I did something kind of crazy myself during the last time we had an inflationary period between 2003 and 2008. The gold stocks were consolidating from 2003 to 2005, their huge move that they'd made. And I sold my house and I put all the proceeds into junior miners. And luckily it turned out well for me as the gold price zoomed higher at the back end of that inflationary period into 2008. And the same thing happened back in during the major inflationary period back in the 70s. The gold price did the same thing. It lagged the commodities at first, and then it outperformed them in the second half. But also something to note during the second half of that move was a similar situation that's taking place when we talked about the Russian-Ukrainian situation. Well, the tail end of the gold bull market in the 70s, Russia invaded Afghanistan, and that is what was the catalyst that took the gold price to the blow-off top at 850. The gold price popped on expectation of this taking place. And I'm starting to believe that it will take place because basically Biden's opened the door for Putin to do it. So it's going to be interesting to see what the gold price does. I mean, God forbid that it happens. I do not want to see that. I do not want to have the gold price go higher on a Russian invasion of Ukraine. But if it does take place, it's going to be interesting to see what the gold market does and how long the gains will be held if it does go higher.
All right, Dave. Boy, oh boy, was it ever an interesting week. And that's why I'm also telling everybody that's listening on the radio or just listening to the weekend show, be sure to go back through our website throughout this week because we had a lot of comments both from analysts and company updates. Dave, everybody, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend. And, well, let's follow up next week because there's a lot of stuff happening next week that will undoubtedly continue this volatility. Dave, again, thanks for your time this weekend.
Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.